a document. H.R. 1540, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012. Guess what? It gives him the power to detain all American citizens without a warrant, without charge, without them being charged, without them being informed of the charges, and to detain them, to imprison them indefinitely. Friends, do we not see it yet? Are we so blind that we do not see it? And as if that is not enough, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announced the Obama administration will be working hand in glove with the UN to pass a new small arms treaty. What is that about? To take all small arms away from the citizens of the world so you cannot resist the coming new world order. Then why is it the U.S. taxpayers, in the light of our terrible economy, are subsidizing overseas mosques under the Obama administration, spreading the wealth to advance the cause of Islam, when Islam has decreed our destruction? And why did the Obama administration deny a big Air Force contract in favor of a Brazilian company with Soros connections and refuse to give it to an American company? Why did he send weapons contracts to foreign companies with ties to Iran? It's all about the new global order, friends. And then why, after presidents beginning with Truman in 1952, establishing a national day of prayer, Reagan designating the first Thursday of May each year as a national day of prayer in 1988, why in June of 2007, President candidate Barack Obama declared that the USA was no longer a Christian nation, then this last year, Obama canceled the 21st annual National Day of Prayer ceremony at the White House. He said he didn't want to offend anyone. But then, on September 25th, 2009, he participated in a National Day of Prayer for the Muslim faith held at the Capitol beside the White House, where over 50,000 Muslims participated. He doesn't much value the God of the Bible, does he? When he prays with Muslims and refuses to allow Americans to pray? No wonder the former Israeli envoy and ambassador to the United States just yesterday called for the replacement of Barack Obama as a danger to the state of Israel. Friends, I want to direct your attention. We don't have time to get into it today, but I want to direct your attention to my book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception. There is a whole section in that book dealing with the false gospels for synthetic times. There are many of them. There are socialisms, there are political isms, and I'm referring particularly to the political isms right now. One of those is socialism, and it's very seductive. After that comes communism, a synthetic community. And this is what Barack Obama is portraying in his speeches. It all sounds so cuddly and so good. But friends, it is a substitute for Christian community. It is a radical change from the foundations of our country that was based on God. He is replacing God with what seems to be good. The common good. Compulsion, force, replaces inner conviction. It's a shift of trust from God to government. Love is lost. Government replaces God. And we are prone for this. We are primed for this deception because we have abandoned the fear of the Lord in the land. We're being seduced. It is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And we just scratched the surface. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. I trust this has been helpful to get the bigger picture. I urge you to get a copy of The Secret of the Lord and Seduction of the Saints. Go to our website, saveus.org, where you can order those books. Give them to your friends. Pass them out. They're going to help you understand what's going on. Send your gifts by faith also to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Friend, if there is any hope for our country, it's got to start in our own hearts and our own lives.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it will be certainly reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. Actually, they're my views, and we were, of course, this evening going to have Sharon Harris with us, and our producer dialed the other telephone number, and he couldn't get through because they don't accept unidentified calls. So I'm going to ask my producer, Ed, to dial star 82 and then try that number again. Our guest this evening, of course, Sharon Harris. We're going to be talking about heart and body extract. And she has a gentleman as a guest this evening who's going to be on the other line. But, we're going to hopefully have him very soon. Sharon, how's everything going?
Oh, everything's great. And how about yourself? Oh,
no complaints at all. And we're still taking the heart and body extract. I know my son takes it, my wife takes it, I take it. We're all certainly doing very, very well. In fact, I had started taking it right after I had my surgery a number of years ago. I had a lot of swelling in the legs. Swelling went down and never come back again. So I've been very, very happy with that. So you hear that sort of a story, though, many times, don't you?
Oh, for sure, yes. We hear a number of different testimonials. Different people have different kind of health concerns and different kind of experiences that they want to share. But certainly swelling of the ankles and legs is something that's quite common, and we hear about that being relieved in quite a, you know, common thing, which is wonderful that it is working very well for that. In fact, I had that problem myself back when I was 45 going on 46. It's like 11 years ago now. I had that problem too. Ankles very swollen. I couldn't even wear my own shoes anymore, my own running shoes. They just wouldn't fit. So I was wearing my husband's for a while. But that all changed once they went on the heart and body. Within a month or so, it was very back to normal, and I was able to wear my own shoes again.
All right. Well, we seem to be having a little difficulty getting the patient, gentleman is supposed to be with us on the line. I'm going to put you on the hold. I'm going to ask my producer to pick up the number, and maybe he can talk to you, and we can get to figure out what's going on, because basically I would really like to hear this fellow's story. Yeah. So you hang on here. We'll hope that Ed will pick you up, make sure we got the correct number, and then we'll go from there. So we've got Sharon back there, and Ed, as soon as it's ready to go, just let me know, and we'll get Sharon back on. But we're going to be with Sharon for half an hour, then we're going to have open lines. So there's so much to talk about this evening, but we do appreciate Sharon's support for Radio Liberty, because I'll tell you right now why things are really pretty tight. My wife came to me today and just pointed out really how dramatic the decline. You know, we've been at this for, 18 years, and certainly we've always had lots of orders. But more and more people, I think, are feeling the economic pinch out there. And suddenly, although we picked up some additional advertisers, why the people who ordinarily would be putting in lots of sending orders for books or for DVDs, it's just fallen off dramatically. So while we're waiting to get Sharon back on here, I would simply mention we do, of course, carry the Miracle Tooth soap products. We wouldn't be without them ourselves. We use the regular soap, the moisturizing soap, the moisturizing gel and the lotion. But right now, Sharon, tell us a little bit about the heart and body extract. Once again, what is in this? Basically, it's a group of, 9 or 10 different types of herbs that work together and seem to have such a beneficial effect.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, there's 10 herbs, and it's a time-proven formula. We haven't changed the formula in 10 going on 11 years, and we're not planning on changing it because of it.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The 10 herbs in Heart and Body Extract, and some of these have been used for thousands of years. Hawthorn has been known for thousands of years to be beneficial, as has cayenne pepper, and all of these things that go into Heart and Body Extract. But when the pharmaceutical industry took over the practice of medicine, took over the medical schools, we get all these fancy, glossy journals all the time, and they're financed in large part by the pharmaceutical industry, which gets doctors to prescribe all sorts of medicines that they tell us are the best one, and then when they get out of patent, they come up with a new one, maybe just like the one they had before, but of course they change a molecule here or there, and now they can patent this thing. And the profits made by our drug industry, I'm afraid, are obscene. Now, I have nothing against industry. I have nothing against people making profits. But when you suddenly sell something like the statin drugs that do far more harm than good, that's unconscionable. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, statin drugs are said to lower the cholesterol, and they do lower the cholesterol by poisoning the liver. But, of course, what this does, by lowering the level of your cholesterol, why it lowers the amount of cholesterol in your brain. Your brain's primarily cholesterol, so people get all sorts of mental problems with this. It lowers CoQ10, carcinogenic. Basically, if you look at the real statistics, they'll tell you a 30% improvement in longevity after a heart attack or stroke. But that is a relative figure. It's the difference between 3 in 100 and 2 in 100. And they say that's 30%. And the reason the doctors prescribe these drugs is because they've never read the package insert, and they don't know where these fancy figures come from. 30% sounds pretty good. 1% doesn't sound that good, especially when you look at all the complications. And of course, one time I had high blood pressure. They want to put me on high blood pressure medication. And the doctor who put me on it was a personal friend. We'd known him for years. But when I read the package insert and all the complications, and this only very minimal advantage to getting the blood pressure down, why, I suddenly got on an entirely different approach. And, well, I'm alive and well 10 years later. Well, right now, because our guest is Sharon Harris, we're talking about heart and body extract. And if you have a question or comment, or comment for Sharon, maybe you've used the product, why, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I think that, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get the gentleman who was supposed to be with us. So, Sharon, it's got to be you and me this evening. And tell us some of the things you'd like to leave, some of the ideas you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Sure. I think maybe the fellow was confused about the time. Maybe he thought it was 11 o'clock in the morning, not 11 o'clock at night his time, you know. I don't know, because sounded like a very reliable, appreciative client. I really don't know what happened there.
So. Well, don't feel bad. You know, I do talk radio 5 hours a day, and it's amazing how often something will come up. Somebody will get a number reversed, or there'll be some minimal sort of a problem, and I'm stuck with the whole hour, but certainly we won't have any trouble talking for half an hour. Tell us the things that why should people be using your product?
Well, that's a really good question. Why should people use heart and body extract? Because it's important to be healthy. It's important to be energetic. It's important to have vitality, to feel youthful. All those things are kind of hard to find in the diets that people are getting nowadays. And so it's important to eat a well-balanced diet with organic vegetables and fruits and make sure a person has good water supply, filtered water, and make sure a person exercises, you know, 20-minute walk, half an hour walk. All those things are very key to being healthy. Now, in addition to those healthy type of things, a good diet, exercise, good water, if a person needs extra support, and many of us do, especially after age 35, because our self-cleaning systems aren't as good as when we were younger, that's where the heart and body comes in. And what that will do is that will give the body vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, phytonutrients that the body needs to balance itself with so the body can start to function optimally. So if a person is seeking to have healthy blood pressure levels, this would be a great choice for you. If a person is seeking to have healthy cholesterol levels, this would be a good choice. If somebody wants to have clean, clear arteries and feel more energetic and feel able to do more exercise, well, heart and body extract would be a very good thing to use. We have excellent results with the formula. We have a very high reorder rate. Many of our clients have been with us for many years and wouldn't miss not being on the formula. Myself, I still take the formula 11 years later. I still take a maintenance dosage. But at the same time as I take the maintenance doses, I enjoy having healthy blood pressure levels. I have a healthy, strong heart. I don't have swelling in the legs and the feet anymore. My heart rate is regular. It's not unbalanced like it was many years ago. So maintenance dosage of once per day is, you know, very helpful for me and something I wouldn't be without.
All right. Well, would you like to get your telephone number and, of course, your webpage out there?
Okay. So the phone number to call is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. And the website is heartandbody.com. Again, heartandbody.com.
And, of course, basically Sharon has not only the heart and body extract, she has a number of other herbal products, which I didn't really realize until a few months ago. What are some of the other products that you offer besides the heart and body extract, which I know is the mainstay of what you sell, but what are some of the other herbal products that you offer?
Sure. We have 19 different formulas. Heart and Body Extract is our flagship product, and that product gives a lot of mileage, so it is a foundational formula. But each and every one of our formulas are very effective. They all work, and I'll just kind of list off what we have. Bone and Joint Extract, that's a formula to help support healthy bones and joints. Calcium Extract is a balanced formula of herbs that encourages the body to properly utilize and absorb calcium without excess unassimilated calcium that can cause calcification in and around the joints. The calcium in this extract is derived from plant material, and that is something that our bodies are designed to absorb. Most of the commercial calcium products come from rocks or shells or inorganic material, which the body does not absorb. In fact, that can be very harmful. I have met people that have actually got clogged arteries because of their calcium supplements. So one needs to be very careful with calcium supplements. Next, a formula that we have is Cell Cleanse Extract. This is a very good formula for helping to cleanse and detoxify at the cellular level. And along the same lines, as we have another similar formula, but it has different ingredients, and it's called Detoxifier Extract, and that is a great formula for blood cleansing. It has a high lignin content. Next is Female Balance Extract. This particular formula is formulated to enhance, stimulate, and balance the female endocrine system. It's excellent for relief of PMS, hot flashes, night sweats. It'll help to boost sexual desire and enjoyment of sexual activities. We actually get great results on that formula, and it's a very popular lady formula. Next is Foundation Tonic. This would be our daily vitamin and mineral supplement that you would take on a daily basis. And it's a great tasting formula. It provides nutritional support that one needs to have a well-balanced nutritional foundation on a daily basis. It's very complete and synergetic in terms of the benefits on the whole body. It'll boost the energy and feeling of well-being and health. And the nice thing about it is it has a really nice taste. People really like the taste. Gentleman Extract. This is a formula that is helpful for males in their, not their endocrine system, but their male reproductive system. It's a combination of herbs chosen for restorative and nutritive properties. It has a soothing and cleansing and corrective influence on the whole male reproductive system, especially the prostate gland. So it's helpful for middle-aged or overstimulated or the exhausted male reproductive system. Next is Gland Extract. This is a nourishing formula for the glandular system. It'll increase absorption and utilization of nutrients and stimulate glandular balance and activity. The herbs in this formula are picked mainly for their nutritive and digestive values. So it'll help to support the thyroid, the adrenal glands. Ginseng Extract, great formula, works within about 15 minutes or so. You'll feel a difference in terms of energy and strength and stamina. It's an excellent formula that helps to increase and balance energy levels, and it reduces the effect of stress, both mental and physical.
Well, we're going to be taking a brief break here. Before we do, get your telephone number and your website out one more time.
Sure. The phone number is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, and the website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
And if you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Sharon, why don't you go right ahead with the list of your herbal products?
Sure. We were talking about ginseng extract. Really good formula. You feel a difference quickly.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
World, what sort of things do your customers tell you about how this affects them? I mean, is it simply because their heartbeat's better, or simply they don't have the pounding in their chest, or their blood pressure's better, is their endurance better? I know I've heard several of them talk about how the swelling of their legs has gone down. What seems to be the primary advantage of Heart and Body Extract, or does it vary from person to person?
Well, each and every one of us are very unique. You know, I'm different than yourself. Myself, I'm different from my husband. I'm different from my sister, and so on. So we're all unique individuals, and so different people have different kind of concerns. The nice thing about the Heart and Body Extract is it has a wide variety of benefits. And because the circulation involves 80,000 miles of blood vessels throughout the whole body, from the top of a person's head to the bottom of the toes, there's a number of things that can be improved. Like we can hear people say, oh, my hearing is better. Oh, my eyesight is better. Oh, my hair growth is better. Oh, my cold hands and my feet are gone. I don't have that problem anymore. The circulation's improved. Oh, I don't have that heart pain anymore, that angina is ceasing. These are things that are, you know, quite common. I'm sleeping better. That's a very common test form. My blood pressure is normal. That's very common. My cholesterol is normal. My blood sugar levels are normal. My energy is improved. I can walk further. So there's a number of different things, and, you know, basically they're very fundamental things because it affects the energy, stamina of a person, the youthfulness of a person. So often clients will say, gee, I feel much, much younger. I'm able to do so much more. And we have lots of clients all different ages. We have babies that have unfortunately been born into having health problems that are on the formula. We have children on the formula. We have many clients in the 80s and 90s and 100s. So there's no age restriction. In fact, the older a person is, the more beneficial they're going to find the formula. And hopefully they're going to live a lot longer with more quality of life. And that's really the key, is the quality of life.
Amen to that. Well, if we don't have any calls, I'll put the number up one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you want to talk to Sharon, you're going to have to call now. Otherwise, you're going to have to let her go. We'll be doing open lines. One more time, let's get out your telephone number, your webpage, and then we'll let you go.
Sure, okay. The phone number to call is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. And I'll give the website for all of the formulas in case somebody is interested in some of the other ones, like the respiratory extract and the regeneration extract or the male virilia. I mean, our variety of different formulas. So that website is healthyheartsclub.net. Healthy Hearts, with a plural, club.net. Again, healthyheartsclub.net. You'll also find Heart and Body on that site also.
All right, fine. Let's go to Barbara, who's calling here. Hi, Barbara. You have a quick question or comment?
Just a very quick question for Sharon. Well, we take the Heart and Body extract and wouldn't be without it. But I was wondering, what is in, if you have, off the top of your head, could tell me, what is in the sleep formula?
What is in the stress formula, you mean?
The sleep formula. You have something
else. With the second last one you gave.
Right. You know what? I don't have all the ingredients in front of me.
Okay, we'll check it out on your website.
Yeah, if you could, because I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to say something that wasn't correct.
Absolutely. I will vouch for your Heart and Body extract.
What has it done for you?
It's given me more stamina. I think it's lowered my blood pressure.
Great.
Probably strengthened my heart a lot.
Great.
And, just in general.
Great. That's what I love to hear.
And my blood pressure's come down, and so if you take it faithfully, it really works.
Okay. Time. Well, thanks so much for calling, okay. Barbara. Okay. Thank you, Sharon. We'll talk to you again next month.
Okay. You bet. Have a great evening.
Okay, fine. Now we're going to have our open line. So if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, anything you'd like to talk about, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about, I was on the Alex Jones program today, but I called Alex and I said, I got something I think is important. I think you need to get it out. Now, he called me and we were on today for half an hour. We'll probably do Sydney an hour next week. But whichever you'd like to talk about, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
While a storm cloud gathers, far across.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctors' education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Have a question or comment, give us a call. But certainly I had an opportunity of being on for half an hour with Alex today, and we'll probably do an hour with him next week, is the ideas that we put forward, develop. But, you know, there are secret movements out there, and there are all sorts of secret and certainly subterranean meetings, or, of course, they don't want the common people to know what it's really all about. There was a secret society created back in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes, and basically when you belong to a secret society, you're not supposed to tell people. Well, fortunately, why, of course, Mr. William Stead, who was an initial member of the secret society, opposed the Boer War. Of course, the whole idea of the secret society was to bring about world peace, and these people decided they were going to bring about world peace by starting war after war after war, and out of the horror of war would come the demand for peace, and that's perfectly logical, isn't it? Well, William Stead, who was a very prominent journalist at that time, didn't think so. So he was actually thrown out of Cecil Rhodes' secret society. And as a result, why, he went ahead and he wrote about it in his diary, and he wrote about it in books, and he wrote about it in his magazine Review of Reviews. And but I mean, we're talking about, you know, the beginning of the 20th century, but we have all of the writings about it. And then, of course, the secret society created the Boer War, and then they created World War One, and then they created World War Two, but they couldn't let the public know what was really going on. I mean, they couldn't let them know that their corporations and banks were banking and backing Adolf Hitler at every turn. And suddenly the German military realized the war was gone. They wanted to throw the war. They kept trying over and over again to end the Second World War. They thought it was futile. There's a book called The German General Speak. I think it's by Captain Littlejohn, something very much like that, The German General Speak. And of course, he went over and talked to the German generals after the Second World War, and they said, look, we tried to throw the war to you, and time and again, you'd snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. We were trying to do everything we could to help you. But of course, he didn't, and the German generals didn't understand. It was all a scam. Suddenly, we could have won the war in 1943, but the people in the secret societies, people like Winston Churchill, who was a Druid and a Mason, and you can look all this up on the Internet. Don't take my word for it. But I was personally told by General Albert Wedemeyer, who was chief of planning for the American military forces in the Second World War, that we were ready to invade Europe in 1943 and could have ended the war in 1943 instead of prolonging it for two additional years. But Winston Churchill would not let them do what needed to be done. He insisted on invading North Africa and then Sicily and then Italy, and we lost more people at the battle. The invasion of Anzio than General MacArthur lost in all of the horrible invasions of the South Pacific Islands after island after island. We lost more people at Anzio than the General MacArthur lost and all the others, because General MacArthur wanted to save the lives of his soldiers, and unfortunately, why the people who were carrying out their orders sent our boys simply into a meat grinder, because they hoped that out of this horror would come a demand for world peace, and of course it did. It was the United Nations, but it never, of course, really succeeded as they anticipated. That's why they've been planning all these years for World War III. And you go back and you can read some of the writings. Well, for instance, H.G. Wells wrote a book about 1933, The Shape of Things to Come, telling exactly when World War II was going to begin. And then he said that the third try at world order would come in 1988 and out of a conference at Basra. And you can go back and read the books. I mean, they realized, of course, that if World War II didn't succeed, there'd have to be another great war, and it's coming. Well, this leads us up to where we are today, and certainly we've got a few other instances. Certainly Dr. Richard Day gave a talk. He was from Planned Parenthood. He was very, very close to the elite. And he gave a talk in 1969 outlawing everything that was going to happen in the population control programs and how America was going to create inferior cars so that people would buy Japanese cars because it'd be better, and how they were, of course, going to dumb down our population and withhold treatments for cancer and certainly create horrible new diseases. And of course, as you know, 1980, all these horrible new diseases developed, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and certainly Lyme disease and the AIDS epidemic. And then 10 years later, we had the Gulf War illness. And these are all created diseases. But of course, recently, there was an article in Foreign Affairs magazine. Now, you want to get an idea of what's going on, you read Foreign Affairs. And once you understand who the players are, you can pretty well interpret whether these are really have to do with what's going on behind the scenes. And there's a gentleman, his name is Matthew Kroenig, K-R-O-E-N-I-G. And he was a senior advisor to the Secretary of the Defense up until July of last year. That was Mr. Gates, a member of the Trilateral Commission. But Kroenig is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and since then, since the July of last year, he has been the Stanton Nuclear Security Fellow, Stanton Nuclear Security Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, Assistant Professor at Georgetown University. But he, of course, is on the front lines of planning our future. And basically, he has come up with a concept that certainly any thought of attacking Iran is terrible. However, even worse is the thought of a nuclear Iran. And he will tell you, if you read his article in the latest issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, that's the January-February 2012 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the latest one. Why, of course, he will tell you that in an article entitled Time to Attack Iran, that attacking Iran is a terrible thing to do, but even worse than that would be a nuclear Iran. Now, he will admit Iran is not trying to build a bomb. Iran hasn't even decided to try to build a bomb. It would take Iran at least a year to be able to enrich the uranium. But if they did enrich the uranium to the point where they could build a bomb, if they should decide to build a bomb, and if they ever got it enriched to that point, it would take about a year, and then it would take them a couple of months to build a trigger, and that would mean that Iran would have a nuclear weapon, and they probably would not use it. I mean, it would be foolish for them to use the bomb because the retaliation would be so horrible, but they no longer would people be able to push their country around. Basically, they would have a bomb and somebody tried to attack them while they could retaliate, and nobody, of course, would even consider a nuclear exchange so horrible. So now, of course, Iran could be a dominant force. And the thought of a nuclear-armed Iran that could defend itself or have an influence over there in the Middle East is a horrible thing to contemplate. And so since it's a horrible thing to contemplate, and Iran might decide to build a bomb, and then they might enrich the uranium, and then they might exclude the inspectors from the Atomic Energy Commission. Therefore, we should attack very, very soon, as soon as we can convince the American people this is a good idea. And basically, of course, now then they've started a series of articles. I think it was the 18th of January, 15th or 18th of January, an article in the Wall Street Journal editorial pages by a man named Mark Halperin, also from the Council on Foreign Relations, incidentally. Wall Street Journal is controlled by Rupert Murdoch, member of the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Council on Foreign Relations, and certainly a very, very evil and wicked man who controls much of the Christian publication in America today, which is why the church has become tragically quite irrelevant, why they've changed the music and the message of our churches, because of course Rupert Murdoch and in his publication, the Wall Street Journal, it was either January 15th or 18th, Mark Halperin actually wrote an article, editorial page, saying essentially the same thing that Mark Kronig had said at a covert meeting last week. Now, fortunately, because I happen to be in the press corps and because they send out to people such as myself a list of the covert meetings they had, and this was a very, very small meeting at the Harold Pratt House at 5080 68th Street last week, when Matthew Kronig spoke, and there were probably, from looking at the transcript, maybe 20 or 30 people there, but he just talked really, of course, from his heart. And he said, now, after the surgical strike, it's a surgical strike, it's not a strike, a military strike, you don't try to damage the country, you don't try to damage the military, you don't try to damage their ability to retaliate, you do not try to damage the regime, you simply want to go ahead and knock out most of their nuclear facilities and set back their efforts to build a nuclear weapon from 3 to 10 years, somewhere between 3 and 10 years. But then, of course, you know that the Iranians are going to have to retaliate against you. I mean, after all, if they didn't, they'd lose the confidence of the people. So basically, Mr. Khamenei, who was in charge over there, he will retaliate against America. But hopefully it'll be a limited retaliation. Hopefully it'll be a limited retaliation. I mean, after all, he knows we're not trying to destroy his regime. He knows we're not trying to destroy his military, so he will act responsibly when he retaliates. Some of the people in the audience were saying, well, Mr. Kronig, but how can you be sure he's going to have a limited retaliation? Well, Kronig says we've got to be able to, and we've got to be willing, and we've got to anticipate we're going to have to absorb the retaliation. And, of course, we do not want to escalate the level of what's going on by retaliating in a violent manner. We want to let him know that if he doesn't retaliate too badly, we won't do anything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, but what happens if he does retaliate and he takes out an aircraft killer, a carrier? They have their submarines over there. They're down there in the floor of the Persian Gulf. I don't know how many submarines they have, but they could take out an aircraft carrier or two or three. Or four of them. Suddenly there are three aircraft, American aircraft carrier and one British aircraft carrier right over there in the Persian Gulf today. Let's just imagine they only took out one aircraft carrier and lobbed maybe 20,000 missiles at Israel and destroyed that little nation. And my plea, ladies and gentlemen, is to understand, if you care about Israel, do not say that we should be considering an attack on Iran. If you care about Israel, pull all of our troops out of that part of the country and stop financing all of Israel's enemies. We have a foreign aid policy. We give $12 billion a year to Israel's enemies. We give $3 billion a year to Israel. And then we tell them how they're supposed to run their situation over there, and basically they almost have a civil war over there because America has forced them to pull out of Gaza. When we forced Israel to pull out of Gaza, Hamas moved in and used his base for lobbing missiles into Israel. Now we're trying to get them, forcing Israel to pull out of Judea and Samaria. This has almost created a civil war over there, and it's America's interference in the affairs of Israel that's creating all of the problems. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the idea that, and this has basically been reiterated by a number of Council on Foreign Relations writers in this last week. Richard Haass, who's the president of the CFR, he is certainly one of the people who knows what's going on. Kronig does, Mark Halperin. They're preparing the American people for a surgical strike on Iran. Now, I don't know when it's coming. Could be a matter of weeks, could be a matter of months, could be a matter of a year or more. But this is the whole plan. There will be a surgical strike. They will retaliate, and we will not respond to the retaliation. And as Mr. Kronig has said, we have to be prepared to absorb the retaliation. But what happens if they wipe Israel off the face of the Europe map in the process? At what point will we, of course, react with violence? And ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing. We're leaving Israel totally vulnerable. And, of course, everybody is saying, oh, well, Ron Paul hates Israel. Ron Paul says, get our people out of there. Stop interfering with what's going on over there. Israel can take care of itself, and it can. But, of course, what would happen if they lobbed 20,000 missiles at Iran, and then, of course, America would say, you must not retaliate against Iran. Iran, of course, would bring 20,000 missiles on Israel, and the United States says you must not retaliate, or you'll only increase the tensions over there. Israel is not able to act independently. If Israel was able to act independently, they would act in their own best interest rather than carrying out the directives, of course, from the people who run our government. And what you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, is what Barry Shamus talks about. There are many people who hate Israel. Many of them are Jewish. They're Sabbatean Jews, followers of Jacob Frank. They're the sort of people who negotiated with Hitler for the transfer agreement. And if you've never read Edwin Black's book, The Transfer Agreement, about the Jews who actually negotiated with Adolf Hitler to allow the Holocaust and encourage the Holocaust. And Adolf Eichmann offered to free all of the Jews in Hungary. And, of course, the people from this little clique of Jewish people said, we will not help you at all in any way. And they condemned 600,000 Jews to Auschwitz prison. You've never heard about the Jews who hate Jews, and many of them are working at the highest levels of our government. Barry claims they're Sabbateans. I believe they're part of a satanic clique working within the upper echelons of the Jewish religion, and just exactly as we have the satanic element working in the Vatican, working within the Jesuit religion, working at the highest echelons of the Protestant religion, so they have them working at the highest levels of the Jewish religion. And in our State Department, this is a satanic movement. And until you understand that, nothing makes sense. Let me suggest you go up to your website and Google in the following, Matthew Kronig, K-R-O-E-N-I-G, CFR meeting, attack Iran. Matthew Kronig, CFR meeting, attack Iran. You'll find it there on the list of various meetings held last week at the Council on Foreign Relations headquarters. Read it through. And what they're talking about is leaving the Iranian forces attacked so they can retaliate, leaving the enemy intact so they can retaliate. What madness is that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who are sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. We'll be right back. Well, hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just tuning in about 15 minutes.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Quite honestly, that we were doing pretty well there until a few weeks ago when it's something like somebody just turned off the orders, and a lot of people are hurting. Suddenly, we have an Amazon store. We used to be getting six, eight orders a day. If we get an order a day, we're where we feel we're lucky, and we're having the same thing with the orders. We've got some of the finest things you'll find any place if you go to our website. We have all sorts of 4-tape sets and 4-CD sets and videos and a lot of DVDs and great books. We have the information you're not going to be able to get elsewhere. And if you really want to know what's going on, go to our website and get one of our catalogs, and we hope that you'll want to order. We also, of course, carry something called Miracle 2 soap. We use it ourselves. We use it for washing. We have a regular Miracle 2. We have the moisturizing soap. There's certainly a lotion. There's a moisturizing gel. We wouldn't be without any of these things as a neutralizing solution. Miracle 2 products are really great, and we certainly recommend them to you. And then, of course, we carry the Berkey water filters. And you really need to have a Berkey water filter. You need extra filters to have on hand because we're moving into very difficult times, and you don't know what is going to happen. But you should have a couple of Berkey water filters. We do, and we have extra filters for them. And, of course, so we can provide them and help our neighbors as well. But you need to start laying in the products. Certainly you need to lay in a supply of health products and vitamins and minerals. And you really should have a good supply of vitamin D3 on hand and of multivitamins, which we carry, curcumin. Certainly most people are deficient in iodine, so you should have a supply of iodorol. At least 80 to 90% of Americans are deficient in magnesium because we don't have it in our soil. And this is one reason many people have cardiac irregularities, and you're taking proper amounts. And it's amazing that really what a little bit of magnesium can do. It could alter your intestinal function. We are so sensitive to magnesium. We've got a great little book on magnesium, and basically, both I and my wife and my son take magnesium. 80 to 90% of Americans are deficient in magnesium. You certainly need to go to our website, look at the various products we sell, because we actually take these ourselves. You need to get Dr. Russell Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We have some DVDs that he's made on vaccines and brain development and vaccines and behavior. And certainly we have a 4-tape set by Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's just called Life-Saving Secrets. We carry his book for cancer patients, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But if you'd like a list of the health products we carry, almost all of which we take ourselves. Certainly, I can't get the flu. I've got to do the programs. I haven't missed a program in 15 years. Why? Because I take vitamin D3 every day, and I start to come down with the flu, a cold. I take vitamin D3 every 4 hours. And that's basically 5,000 units. And you need this. The reason people get the flu in the wintertime is because they're not getting out in the sun. The levels of D3 go down. We also carry something called Alibiotic. It's an oil of oregano, oil of elderberry. There's garlic in there. And basically, I take two of those and one vitamin D3 every 4 hours, and I don't come down with the cold. When I'm traveling, I take these things. And you need to have a supply because, ladies and gentlemen, if the things happen as I fear, we're not going to have the ability to get these products, and we will all suffer health-wise. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Greek, who formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now he's the managing editor of Republic Magazine. He writes prolifically. He's actually writing the Radio Liberty newsletter, and the latest one we just got, great newsletter about what's happening in America as we see the militarization of our police force in preparation for the destruction of liberty as we've known it, not happening by accident. Basically, the federal government is militarizing our police and training them. The public is the enemy, and they have to be there to support our federal government. And that's the last thing our founding fathers ever would have wanted. Basically, what they wanted was men to be free, and police work was supposed to be a local and having nothing to do with the federal government. And the fact that the federal government is supplying automatic weapons and tanks and robots and all of these things, armored personnel carriers to our police, why do you think they're doing it? Because they want a dictatorship in America, ladies and gentlemen. They want a dictatorship in America. Why do you think everybody in America has a number? Why do you think that they have the cameras on police of Sydney on street corners all across America, installing them in stores, installing them on our streets, installing them in front of buildings? Those cameras are not there to catch the bad guys, they're the ones, the good guys. Why do you think everybody has Sydney a card of some sort, credit card, grocery card? And so they keep a record of everything you buy. Why do you think that DARPA has a dossier on you? Why do you think that the Office of Homeland Security has a dossier on you? Why do you think the FBI and the CIA are keeping dossiers on you, and they are all coordinated through the fusion centers? F-U-S-I-O-N, fusion centers. Go up on the internet and look up fusion centers. If you have the internet, check out what I'm saying. The fusion centers, where they coordinate your DARPA dossier, your Office of Homeland Security dossier, your FBI file, your CIA dossier, and all the other files that they have on you. And they're collecting files on you, and of course they have gone around to all the departments of motor vehicles, and they have actually lied to them, claiming to be private, that corporations wanted to get your picture, and the state sold your picture and your thumbprint and anything else they have on you to the federal government. They did it by lying. They're not supposed to do these things, but you see, there's an invisible government that wants a dictatorship, and then, of course, they basically have suddenly your GPS coordinates on you. They have suddenly they listen to all of your telephone calls through Project Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. E-C-H-E-L-O-N, look at it. Now, the government, NSA, says we do not listen to American telephone calls or read their faxes. That's true. They get the British to do it. And basically, then, of course, we monitor the British. Well, I can hear the laughter in the background. There's so much more we can talk about now. Basically, I just comment one more thing. Recently, they found that the Apple hardware, software in your iPhone, your iPod, or whatever you have from Apple, had software in it so they could track where you'd been. And the Apple people said, how did that software get into our program? We just have no idea how that's, it must have just materialized there. Why, we would never, of course, put something into our program so that they could get hold of of your iPod or iPhone and know every place you'd been. Is that a coincidence? William, go right ahead and pick up the story.
Dr. Stan, it's a pleasure to be with you. The reason I'm chuckling right now is because...
Hold that thought. Go right ahead.
At some point, it simply strikes me as risible, the extent to which we're supposed to suspend our disbelief and display abject credulity in the face of this concentrated onslaught of lying. And as you were reciting this by no means comprehensive litany of the ways that we are kept under scrutiny and monitored and tracked, and tagged and bagged, and kettled and treated like livestock, it just occurs to me that given the fact that anything and everything we do at some point during each day of our lives could be construed as a federal crime, we might as well live as free people anyway. If they're going to damn us, let them damn us for being who we are. I think that one of the most productive things we can do right now is defiantly to live as we know we should live, irrespective of the consequence, because at some point it doesn't matter what we do, whether we do what's right or we do what's wrong, those who are intent on doing us harm will probably find some way to harm us. And I think that's the attitude, the mindset of people from the obstreperous founding generation of what had been the world's freest republic, the Samuel Adams faction, if you will. There were people who defiantly lived as free men, irrespective of the policies which were imposed on them by the people that presumed to rule them. We need an outbreak of that type of contrariness in the American society right now. And one of the things I chuckled about was the idea that the United States government had outsourced to Great Britain, and I think also to Australia, some element of the Echelon program, and just the fact that there had been this polarity shift here in terms of the imperial relationship between the United States, or that is to say the power elite element within America, and Great Britain. That's just an interesting role reversal here, because at the time of our founding, it was understood that we had become a separate people. There were quotes from Benjamin Franklin and others talking about how there was this new thing in the world. There was a French writer by the name of Crevecoeur who said the same thing. The American is something new in the world. He's somebody who doesn't owe his loyalty or his fealty to a liege lord, to a clerical ruler. He's not somebody who is beholden to a noble. He's somebody who can own his own plot of ground. He's somebody who can take command of his own destiny. This is something new in the world, and it's unsettling. It's great, really greatly unsettling to the people who are used to the settled and established power relationships in Europe. Well, we have a situation now where the imperial elite in the American element of the international power elite is claiming powers that so badly eclipse even the most extravagant claims of absolute monarchy of the 18th century that it really does make us wonder how much worse we would have been if the founding generation had been content to be imperial peons in the British Empire.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cynthia William was just commenting that America was something new and unique in the history of all mankind, because prior to America, men had always been controlled by a ruler, whether it would be the tribal chief, or whether it was to be the prophet, or whether it was the king, or the emperor, or the dictator. It didn't really matter. They always were controlled, and certainly there was always a religious element behind it. You know, it could be the witch doctor who authorized the king, could be the pope who authorized and justified the control the emperor, the king had over the individual. But for the first time in all recorded history, when America came about, why, of course, men were considered to be free because their rights came from God and they could not be infringed upon, and the power of the federal government was to be forever restricted by the chains of the Constitution. Well, of course, there's always been those who want a dictatorship. They control our government today. Basically, they made mockery of our electoral process. They've rigged our elections. I mean, so many of the recent elections in this last few weeks has obviously been rigged. They will not allow people to go into the rooms where they're counting the votes. And they certainly will not allow, you know, anybody to challenge what's going on. Even though the law says people have a right to be in the room, well, they're not going to do it. And certainly this last election in Florida was rigged. We know of at least 900 people who have been dead for on an average of 6.5 years who voted in that election. Now, I realize people do come back from the dead sometimes to vote, but not on this scale, and so these things are going on all across America. The last thing that the elite who controls our military and our banks and our corporations and our political process and our educational system and our foundations and the media. The last thing they want is a free election where somebody who believes in the Constitution and in liberty might be elected president. Horrors why they couldn't allow the people to have an opportunity to elect their own president. They will want to select the president this year, as they always select the president. We go to the polls to vote not for the candidate of our choice, but for the candidate of their choice. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, one of the things I want to underscore here about what you were saying, Dr. Stan, is this proprietary claim that is made on the lives and the property and all that pertains to the individual human being by those who see themselves as made of something better than the rest of us. You mentioned the fact that there was always a type of religious attachment to the figure of the ruler or to the elite, the oligarchy, claiming jurisdiction over a given territory. I was reminded of the description in the ancient literature of Pharaoh, the ancient Egyptian tyrant, the despot, who considered himself to be a god-man and before whom all human beings were as mere cattle. And then you can read in Josephus about Nimrod, the quasi-mythical legendary figure, the founder of Babylon, who was considered a hunter, not because of his prowess in gathering wild game, but because he was somebody who preyed upon man. You know, man is wolf to man. I believe it was Lucan, the ancient Roman satirist, who coined that phrase. And he might have been thinking of Nimrod, or certainly somebody like him. His symbol was the bow and the arrow, and it was not because he went out once again to harvest wild game or to distinguish himself in that respect, but because he's somebody who built kingdoms on the basis of predation. And Josephus says the reason why he arranged his society the way he did was to encourage people to worship himself and to worship the state as their omnipotent creator and benefactor. And that, unfortunately, is the attitude of too many Americans today, something completely foreign to our heritage. I mean, the type of people who were smugglers during the 1760s and 1770s in order to evade the impositions of what we would now consider to be relatively minor, by no means onerous, taxes and licenses and other fees imposed by the British Ministry for the Americas, the people who hurled defiance at the Redcoats, who were the militarized police of the time, and the sort of people who mustered at Lexington and Concord in order to avoid being disarmed by their self-appointed imperial overlords. Those are people to whom it was entirely foreign to think that they were beholden to anybody of a woman born, with one conspicuous exception, which is why a lot of our founders took up the refrain, no king but King Jesus, you know, recognizing there was only one to whom we owed any fealty or allegiance, the only one who actually exercised legitimate authority in the history of the universe, the creator of the universe, the redeemer of mankind. Other than that, nobody really has a claim to us. We're not to be subject to anybody. But from crown to soul, the system we're living under right now is riddled with the assumption that we are not the owners or possessors of our lives, much less of our property, that which we have acquired through inheritance or through industry and thrift or through mutually beneficial commerce. When we mix our ability and our intellect with raw materials and create something worthwhile, government sees fit to impose itself upon us, to mulct from us some portion of what we have created through the exercise of our God-given gifts. We live in a circumstance right now in which there are over 40,000 enactments the government considers to be laws, any one of which could be used to deprive us of everything that we hold dear. As I'm speaking to you right now, there's a couple up at Priest Lake, Idaho, in this gem state here where I live, who had their home stolen from them by the EPA in 2007. They started to build an attractive property. They had received all the requisite to build their home on attractive land that the wife had purchased with her own earnings. The EPA, on the basis of an anonymous tip, showed up with the company of people from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and claimed that this desiccated part of that parcel of land, which was not connected by any means to any navigable waterway of the United States, was a wetland because of the hydrologic character of the soils involved, and that by moving fill dirt from one part of their property to another, they had filled part of the navigable waters of the United States, and that they had to surrender jurisdiction over their property to the supervision of the Corps of Engineers and the EPA, that they had to allow inspections and regulations. They had to pay some extravagant sum in order to repair the supposed damage they'd done to their own property. And in the alternate, for noncompliance, they could be hit with fines of up to $37,000. Forgive me, I don't want to exaggerate this. I believe the sum was about, probably about $3,700 a day, but they could literally find themselves owing millions of dollars in that period of time, the 2007 to today, 5-year period we're talking about, in noncompliance fees, if they didn't surrender to these extortion demands made by the EPA on the basis of things they had done on their own property that they had legally acquired to build a home. This is a case which just recently went to the Supreme Court, which is, I think, the wrong venue in which to air this complaint. Their complaint is that there are procedural issues that are involved here, that there is a measure that was passed by the Congress that requires that they be given a review here of the administrative policy before they're actually fined and cited and held to owe this in any kind of assessment to the EPA for the use of their own properties. In other words, they're arguing on procedural grounds as to whether the EPA had actually carried out its supposed authority under the Clean Water Act.
And, of course, the real thing is the EPA has no authority.
That's it, exactly.
And basically, of course, the thing is we have to understand the Constitution. There's not one of our presidential candidates that has anything but contempt for the Constitution. In fact, any time the Constitution, this subject comes up, Mitt Romney turns to Ron Paul and says, we'll have to ask Dr. Paul about this. These men, they're running for president. They don't understand our Constitution, which limits the power. Certainly the EPA is not authorized in any way under our Constitution. And here you have people, bureaucrats who love to be oppressive, who love, of course, to terrorize the public, and they're doing a good job. And most people will just go along and say, it's easier just to give in than to try to fight them. And what we need are people who stand up and say, we're not going to do this. It doesn't care what it costs us. You're wrong. And basically, of course, this is what's really happening up in the area of Sydney in Eureka up there, Sydney, where they're trying to tear out all the dams there. And in Shasta County and Siskiyou County. And when they've got 20 or 30 organizations to come, local citizens organizations and the bureaucrats that come, and they know the people are going to be there in force, the federal officials don't bother to show up. They're cowards.
Yeah.
These people are cowards and bullies, and we should let the public know what's going on. And if the people aren't willing to take a stand, then they don't deserve to be free. At least the people up in Eureka and Siskiyou County have the courage to take a stand. I wonder if the people in Santa Cruz do. Go ahead.
Well, it's the same type of a situation that you're referring to here with respect to the dams and people being starved out of their lands through an engineered drought. And that's one example of the sort of thing that we're talking about with respect to Priest Lake, which is just the outright confiscation of people's property by these bureaucratic agencies that have no constitutional warrant. In the case of the Sacketts in Priest Lake, Idaho, what I think should happen, I believe they're they're either in Bonner County or Boundary County. I can't remember which one. They're up there in the farmost extremity of the panhandle here. What should happen is that a county grand jury should assemble, and a county grand jury doesn't need to be assembled by a prosecutor. The grand jury should investigate the matter and deliver a presentment to the county attorney and a writ of mandamus to the county sheriff. And the presentment should hold the EPA guilty. If the facts justify this, I would contend that they do. They should find the EPA guilty of theft by conversion and extortion and fraud. They should issue a writ of mandamus to the county sheriff requiring that he arrest any EPA official who sets foot in the county to enforce the supposed decrees of the EPA. They should memorialize Governor Otter, if necessary, to call out the National Guard to expel the EPA from the state of Idaho. That's the first two or three things that should be done in order to address this problem. They should have gone to the Supreme Court.
And they ought to bring personal lawsuits against the federal officials. Now, of course, they've rigged the laws, so you can't sue the federal officials. And we ought to simply counter those laws by one means or another and start holding the bullies who work for the government responsible for terrorizing law-abiding citizens. Go right ahead with him.
That's exactly right. They should be helped.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Convened by the people, didn't have to be convened by the prosecutor, because lots of times the prosecutors were corrupt. And in certain places in our country, the prosecutors are corrupt today. I mean, why would you think that since man is basically sinful, that we wouldn't have sinful people working within the municipal government, within the police force, within the district attorney's office? And so the whole idea was you could have independent grand juries. I've never even heard this precept before, but it sounds pretty good to me. That could actually hold meetings, and then, of course, after taking evidence and compiling all of it, they would take it then to the prosecutor and demand that he go ahead and hold hearings, and that the people responsible for whatever the crime was should be indicted. But go right ahead. This is a unique idea, William.
Yeah. The thing is, it's unfamiliar precisely because this is something that has not been done for ages, but it's something which is, as I mentioned, it's being done right now in Houston, and there have been a couple of places in the last couple of decades where grand juries have gone quote-unquote rogue. If it's not rogue, it's not a grand jury. If it's not acting independent of the prosecutor and exercising authority that the prosecutor has to respect and defer to, then it's not a real grand jury. It's basically an arm of the prosecution, and it was never supposed to be that way. There is a terrific piece by Kevin K. Washburn in the Fordham Law Review, which talked about the fact that the grand jury was supposed to be an independent body. It was supposed to be autonomous. It was supposed to be developing evidence and investigating human corruption within the system of government. In other words, it can't really be an arm of the government if it's holding the government accountable. And Washburn pointed out was that the evil that the grand jury sought to address historically was the exercise of distant power locally. Indeed, the grand jury came to us as an institution that was respected for its profound ability to protect local communities, indeed possibly rebellious ones, from central government authority. It was, in essence, a local check on crown authority. That's precisely what's happening now in Priest Lake, Idaho, and in certain parts of California, everywhere where this spurious entity that calls itself the Environmental Protection Agency, which exists without constitutional warrant or justification, which routinely flouts even its own administrative guidelines and its supposed legislative authorization. I don't think that it has legitimate authorization, because when you enact legislation that's unconstitutional, the legislation is invalid. But it ignores even the black letter, quote-unquote, law of the Clean Water Act and of the Administrative Policy Act, and it simply conducts itself as a marauding gang of extortionists. That's certainly the case with the FACT. And so you have here this instrument which has fallen into desuetude. That's a fancy legal term that refers to something that's become inert through disuse. But we really need to revive and rehabilitate the institution of the citizens' grand jury, or the people's grand jury. And I suspect that given that the federal system here, the judicial branch, is entirely a creature now of stare decisis, of precedent, of positivism, they don't care what the Constitution says. They care what previous precedent says. And once you have a string of precedents going back to a beginning break with constitutional principle, then you're completely locked into a track which ignores what the Constitution says, and it makes the Constitution of no effect. And they don't really care that they burrowed so deeply into these extra constitutional assumptions. They want to redeem and to validate and vindicate the claims of the court in all circumstances, whatever damage that does to the rights of people who are on the receiving end of unconstitutional government powers. That's the wrong track to take. You have to have local interposition. You have to have a body which will hold the line institutionally against abuses of distant power locally. And that's how we had a revolution in this country to begin with. People started refusing to find Americans guilty when they were brought to trial by representatives of the Crown, starting with the John Peter Zenger case in 1734. We've reached a point now where we have to rehabilitate and reinstitute the people's grand juries as, I think, pretty much the last-ditch institutional redoubt against the all-encompassing encroachments of central government abuse.
I certainly agree with you. Well, I think that people need to understand that we are not helpless. There is a great deal we can do. We have a wonderful system of government. We just need to reclaim it. If we do not, of course, it will simply become part of remembrance of things past, become part of the dustbin of history. If you care about freedom, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what William is saying, and then help us reclaim our freedom while there's still time.
Thank you.
Well, William, you go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I want to italicize what you just said about the fact that we are not helpless. The biggest problem that we have, unfortunately, is that people have been acculturated to look to the federal government as the source of our answers rather than the origin of our problems. That's not to say by any means that government entities that are more local in nature are entirely innocent or that they are in all circumstances commendable. As a matter of fact, in a few minutes perhaps I'll share with you my most recent experience, which underscores the fact that government at every level can be an engine of undifferentiated tyranny.
Well, that is because, William, because
we're
men
fallen.
Are inherently evil, and men are sinful, and why would you think that just because somebody was working for a government, whether it be local or county or state or federal, that they would be any better or more dependable? What a country has lost its moral foundation, there are no barriers at all. What we need, of course, are men who fear God. They've taken that totally out of the lexicon of the Christian church today. And my good friend Chuck Christmeyer has written a wonderful book, The Spirit of the Lord. And none of the Christian ministries want to embrace this concept because he talks about what the Bible does repeatedly. I've never really been aware that there's so many references in the Bible to the fear of the Lord, but we never talk about that in churches today. Go ahead.
We talk a lot about the fear of the state. We talk about fearing those things that the state holds in front of us as totems of evil and boogeymen, but we don't talk about fearing the Lord and doing justice to our neighbor. That's, of course, the biggest indictment of the Christian church today. I remember what G.K. Chesterton said about how at the beginning of the 20th century, which, of course, has been, we're in the 21st century now, but the era that began with the opening of the 20th century has been an era saturated with the total state. He said, men have lost the capacity for astonishment at their own actions. We've become literally shameless. And that, of course, is a function of this misplaced fearlessness, that is to say, defiance, this insouciance toward our Creator and toward our moral obligations to each other, our indifference or hostility to the golden rule, or refuse to recognize that our rights inhere in us and they inhere in equal measure in everybody who surrounds us, individuals.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. I guess, of course, is William Greig. Go right ahead. We're just talking about the fact that you can never put your reliance upon government. What we need, of course, are men who fear God. We need a government, but it must be made up of men who are answerable to somebody other than their superiors. It must be men, of course, who, whether they're in the police force or whether they're in the military, who are answerable primarily to God, and they fear God because he judges men who are not just. Go right ahead.
Just by way of, once again, throwing into sharp relief the wisdom of what you're saying, Dr. Stan, and its applicability to what's going on right now in Republican politics, how is it possible, if the American conservative Christian evangelical church retained so much as a smattering of spiritual insight, that you would have any element of that demographic cohort supporting Newt Gingrich as a presidential contender? This man is an impenitent repeat adulterer. The other night, during the debate in, I believe it was Jacksonville, Florida, there was a segment of the program during which the four surviving Republican contenders were asked to explain why each of them would consider his respective wife to make a very good first lady. You know, Dr. Paul, who has been a uxorious husband and an exemplary father and grandfather and now great-grandfather, said that obviously his wife would make the best first president because she's been his wife for 55 years. She's a wonderful woman. He loves her dearly. She's been a terrific mother and grandmother, and she's written a wonderful cookbook. In other words, he talked about her as a person. He wasn't talking about her as a symbol or a figurehead or a role model. He just said, this is my wife. This is my helpmeet, the wife of my youth, and I've stayed with her for lo these many years, and we've had a life that had nothing to do with politics. In other words, he's speaking as a fully realized human being. When the turn came for Newt Gingrich to talk about that, I muttered to my friends with whom I was watching this debate, which of his wives would make a good first lady, because he's currently on his third. And he went to deliver a resume about Callista, his current wife, who was his second mistress. Well, not his second mistress, his second mistress whom he married. Let me refine that a little bit more. You have to be more specific when you're trying to limit the absurdity of this. But he delivered a resume about all the things she's done professionally in literature and music and all these wonderful things she could do in terms of being a business partner. But I found myself wondering why it would be that this absurd reptilian figure would be holding forth about this woman who broke up his second marriage, and that second marriage was to a woman with whom he broke up his first marriage. And this is an individual who apparently, on the basis of polling data, carried the evangelical vote in South Carolina, and he carried the vote of those who participated in the South Carolina primary from the married women. This is moral blindness that may prove to be incurable. And it's because, unfortunately, not only do people who claim the name of Christ and profess in political terms to be constitutionalists, not only do they not fear God and understand the universal and unconditional applicability of his commandments, you know, having to do with, among other things, marital fidelity and not committing adultery and having a higher standard for that in the New Testament than in the Old, but they have allowed themselves to be completely governed by two impulses which are base and contemptible, the first of which is a hyper-partisan, rancorous resentment toward anybody from the other political tribe, the Democrats. They hate these other collectivists more than they love liberty. That has to be said. It has to be reckoned with. And I've said that for years. The problem is, in our bipartisan, quote-unquote, political system, you have these two factions which are completely fungible for the most part, with more the exceptions. The people who support Ron Paul being one really good example. The transpartisan in nature, Ron Paul draws a lot of independent-minded people who are nominal Democrats or even nominal progressives. But people who adhere in sports rivalry fashion to one or the other of the dominant collectivist factions within the establishment party are taught to hate the other side more passionately than they are taught to love liberty and to love our country. That's the first of the two base impulses that are prevalent here. The second is that they have surrendered themselves entirely to manipulation through the fears generated by and choreographed by our political masters, so that they see Newt Gingrich as somebody who could probably hold forth with great passion and effectiveness in the debate with Barack Obama, and on the other hand, they also see him as somebody who would be sufficiently and suitably bellicose in dealing with whatever foreign or domestic enemy the establishment prescribes for edification for its next round of orchestrated conflicts and domestic crises. And so they set aside the weightier matters of the law, not merely, of course, the most important ones, which are the two great commandments, love God, love your neighbors yourself, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done to you. They set those things aside, but they even set aside the fact that you're dealing here with somebody who has forgiven himself on extravagantly generous terms for ruining two marriages by divorcing two women who were sick at the time that he divorced them, cashing each of them in and trading up to a younger model, and now he's presenting himself as a gift to the Republic and extolling the virtues of this woman with whom he had a six-year-long extramarital affair while he was in the House of Representatives as a Speaker of the House of Representatives and his ascent up to that position. He ended up in the line of presidential succession while he was holding forth with this woman who was, if I'm not mistaken, younger than his two daughters from his first marriage, behind whose skirts he hid after this became a matter of public conversation a couple of weeks ago. But if the evangelical conservative Christian church and the Republican, primaries, this year, had the moral equivalent of a sense of smell, Newt Gingrich wouldn't be allowed into the auditorium to take part in these debates, much less be looked upon as a credible candidate for the presidency. And that has to do, I think, with, to go back to one of the earlier segments of our discussion, Dr. Stan, with the way that people have become convinced that politics somehow is something which transcends the law of our creator. I mean, go back to the Nimrod assumption, to the Pharaoh assumption. the point is that we're supposedly electing a short-term divine emperor king, and in selecting such a person, it's less important that he be virtuous, that he very effectively catalyze and mobilize the appropriate hatred against the appropriate hate target. Just today I read an immensely silly and offensive column by Victor Davis Hanson, who fancies himself a species of historian. He writes for National Review, which tells you pretty much everything you need to know about the guy. But he had a column today talking about what he considers to be the fact that some of our very best presidents have been adulterers. He talks about such supposed worthies as FDR and JFK and Eisenhower, who allegedly had a battlefield affair when he was the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe. Then he talked about some of the other military leaders. He said that George Patton was reportedly an adulterer. I don't know whether or not that's true. But he said there obviously is something here that is a significant disconnect. There's a severability clause, I suppose, in the qualifications of a political leader. What's really important is that he be an effective administrator, that he be disciplined and focused in the exercise of power, and that you can decouple this from morality, which, of course, is aberrant nonsense. We have an office, the presidency, that is one completely unaccountable to anybody in the constitutional system right now. It's accountable only to the shadowy power elite, the oligarchy behind the president, and I believe that they're the people who ultimately hold the veto over, quite frankly, the continued existence of whatever figure is occupying the Oval Office at any given time. About the only restraint that exists right now on the exercise of power by the president is his own word, the quality of his character, and the strength of character he would display in resisting temptation, particularly the temptation to wield life and death power over innocent people. You have to be a profoundly strong man to resist that temptation. Solzhenitsyn, in his book The First Circle, which was a fictionalized account of some of his experiences in the Gulag, and it was meant to give you an insight into the psychology of the people who were consigned to the Gulag in the Soviet era, and also into the psychology of those who were the Gulag bastards, he painted a really interesting portrait of Stalin. And one of the points he made in this book, which is one I'd recommend everybody read, it's also been adapted as a miniseries, I believe, by the BBC. You might be able to find The First Circle serialized on YouTube. I think I saw at least a few excerpts of it on YouTube. But find the book. It's a few hundred pages long, but it's by Solzhenitsyn, and every syllable the man ever wrote or uttered is worthy of our attention. But his portrait of Stalin is interesting. He said that Stalin, who, of course, commanded unchallengeable power in history's most comprehensive police state, was a weak man. He wasn't a strong man. And the point he was making is that it's a misnomer to refer to a dictator as a strong man. They're very weak. They're first of all, you know, hostage to their own impulses, they're hostage to their own corruptibility. But only a really weak man, I think, would want power. And although we've extolled, and in a qualified sense, because he is a politician like everybody else, and he's a fallen and sinful man like everybody else, the one thing that Ron Paul has said in the course of a couple of interviews now that has impressed me the most is that he does not want power, and he's afraid of the powers that he would be given if he were to be elected president, because he doesn't think that any human being should have powers of that sort. Now, he thinks that it would be better if he had a president who were genuinely reluctant to exercise power. And that's, of course, the sort of sentiment that came from the lips of the pens of Washington and the other members of the founding generation, who, let us remember, in writing the Constitution, were writing a document that was intended to limit what they could do with the powers that the government would be given, delegated, qualified, limited, revocable powers, that is to say, authority. It would be authorized by the sovereign, the people, who, of course, received the authority over their own lives and over their property from their creator. And so when Washington would be exposed to flattery, he would leave the room, so conscious was he of his own corruptibility. Once again, he wasn't perfect. He was flawed. You know, a lot of his flaws are a matter of public record. And he was very candid in describing some of his own weaknesses. But the point is that he understood the corrosive influence of flattery and the profoundly dangerous nature of power. And we now have a system in which people approach the president as if you were dealing with somebody who radiated this affinity. There's a photograph I published on my blog. It's a really repulsive spectacle of a man literally kneeling as President Obama's limousine drives by. You can read in the Woodrow Wilson's War, a book by the historian Thomas Fleming. Unlike Victor Davis Hanson, Thomas Fleming is a legitimate historian, describing how Woodrow Wilson, who apparently considered himself to be somewhat more of a divine nature than the rest of humanity, and I think that's why he associated himself with Philip Drew in Colonel House's novel. Philip Drew, administrator, of course, was a political manifesto disguised as a novel, and much of the agenda described in that book was enacted during Woodrow Wilson's two terms, with Colonel House as effectively his co-president. When Woodrow Wilson went across the Atlantic for the Versailles Peace Conference, he made the pilgrimage across, not pilgrimage, he made the trip across the countryside in a train that was bearing the escutcheon of the presidency and otherwise panoplied in a way that bespoke majesty and imperial might. And these peasants in the French countryside, according to the account in Tom Fleming's book, many of them would literally kneel by the side of the railway as this presidential train would pass by. And that, of course, was entirely to the liking of Woodrow Wilson, who saw himself as perhaps somewhat superior to the Apostle Paul in terms of his nearness to divinity. And that, unfortunately, is the attitude that too many people display when we're talking about the presidency or when we're talking about any government official. And unfortunately, too many people who are in positions of political responsibility or state responsibility see themselves that way as well. They see themselves as being elevated among the common herd by virtue of the fact that they have been given some kind of discretionary power over the lives or the property of other human beings. And one of the real problems we have with law enforcement right now is the fact that too many people who've gone into law enforcement, whether they're police officers, deputy sheriffs, or administrators with the EPA or with any other agency, is that they see themselves somehow as being elevated among the common rank of what I refer to as the mundane, those of us who are not thus exalted. There's
Before you go on, it's getting towards the end of the program. Right. I want you to go ahead and get out your website and tell people how they can get in touch with you, get your material, and of course they get to your PayPal button.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My blog is called Pro Libertate, ProLibertate, Pro Libertate. It's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or go to Google or some other search engine, type in William Grigg and then Pro Libertate, and that should be the first return. You mentioned that at the end of every essay there is a PayPal button that people can click if they're interested in donating to keep the website up and running and to keep my family up and running. I sure appreciate all the generous help that I've received from you and from your listeners. RepublicMagazine.com is the website for Republic Magazine. If you go to Republic Magazine, in addition to having daily updates, there are news articles, usually more than one, that are posted there daily. Up in the upper right-hand corner of that website, if I remember correctly, there's a place where people can type in their name and email address and subscribe and receive a free digital subscription to the magazine. There's also information for those who want to subscribe to the print edition of the magazine, or how they can go about getting a free copy of a pre-printed copy of the magazine, just in exchange for paying. You have to pay shipping fees. That's it. RepublicMagazine.com is the website of Republic Magazine.
Well, it certainly is attractive. You're doing a great job with it. I think it's vitally important that the information is available to our public. Well, we're just about out of time. Of course, our guest has been William Grigg, former editor of the New American, and now are you the official managing director? Or what are you, Republic?
I'm the managing editor and editor-at-large. I think it'd be the best description.
Oh, right, funny. He writes a number of articles there, and William certainly has some great information. You'll really enjoy his latest Radio Liberty letter, because it talks about the very real problem of giving power to people. Now, we have an awful lot of good people in law enforcement, but there's also the bad. And basically, well, whenever you give people power, that power can be misused. And even in the best of hands, it can be misused. We must understand that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And I think it's vitally important people understand that. This is, of course, the reason that our founding fathers limited the power of government so men could be free. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since